Welcome, everybody, to RP Grinders, episode 445. I am your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, the Frosty One himself, the Mug, will be here very shortly. Gentlemen, how are you?
See, I just don't believe he'll be here shortly. He'll show up, like, after we get the news, and then he'll have quote-unquote problems connecting.
Yeah, yeah.
And well, then, you know, and then he'll go do something else.
That's kind of par for the course for Mug, man. He just, you know, he does his own thing, man. He's like, grinders, fuck grinders. You know, I got to be out on the town, you know, with my 10 chicks and
So he's always a pimp then.
Always. Not so much a pimp, just a ladies man. You know, just a bunch of women around him all the damn time, you know, just he's got groupies. So, you know, we got to allow him that little bit of room break, man. I would do the same for you, you know, so.
I don't want that.
you don't want that at all. Yeah. Yeah, that's not, well, you know, there are benefits, man. I'm just saying. Hey, Eric, how about you? How you doing, man?
I'm all right. My eye's bothering me right now today, but my allergies are just acting up. That's all.
Yeah. Allergies suck, man. I'm lucky. I haven't had a ton of allergies here, but I have had headaches, so that I got that going for me, man.
The problem with my throat seems to be clearing up.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's
it seems
good,
going man. Away.
Did you take
medication? It's summer now, so that's probably why.
Do you take medication or
just over the counter stuff to thin out the mucus?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, gents, let's get started with the news, get this stuff, out of the way, and then we can talk some stuff, some mess, whatever the kids are saying nowadays. I see Wylands is in chat, I'm sure there'll be others real soon, usually Dungeon, some other people show up. If you want to be part of the chat room, just, every Friday, 7 Eastern on wickedradionetwork.com. Join us. There's a chat room there. If you have an IRC client, it's geekshed.net. And the room is Wicked Radio. All right, Eric, go ahead with the first news story.
First news story is from RPG Site, and it's about 2064 read-only memories is coming to the Switch as Integral, which is an obvious nod to Metal Gear Solid Integral, which was a re-released version in Japan that the U.S. never got because most of what was in Integral was in the U.S. version to begin with. Yeah. Like, the only thing they got extra was a first-person mode.
Okay.
And I think it was also packaged with the VR game that we got as just VR missions.
Okay. So that's cool, I guess.
But it's going to have more voice acting and script updating. And I think the game's – yeah, like it doesn't say here, but it's also coming to the Xbox One soon, like in August or something. But you could expect this version in quarter one of 2018.
Yeah.
All right. And it says there's also a fast skip, autosave, and other core game improvements. Hopefully they make it easier to save your game and get the other endings.
I wonder what fast skip means.
It means like tech skip.
Oh, I was hoping like they were. I've only seen it before in one game, and I've never played it, but because it was apparently really bad. But that Alone in the Dark game where it lets you skip levels and stuff like that, I want something like that. So if you get to a point where you're stuck and you still want to play the rest of the game, that'd be nice.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's in there too. Like if you don't want to deal with puzzles,
that's
probably just like a solve it button.
That's cool.
I like what Breakman is saying. I had the dandiest of a time with Salt and Sanctuary, which I'll talk about later. My son put me to shame on that fucking game, but we'll talk about it in a bit.
Did you say the dandiest of the time?
Yeah.
How old are you, Frank?
Dude, I'm older. You guys know how old. I'm older than dirt, man.
You're like Flanders.
Well, I'm older than Flanders, man. You know, I gave Groening the idea for Simpsons. So, you know.
When you use the phone, you can't go 6 feet away from the hook, can you?
Yes, I have a rolled cord at my behest.
A rotary, you mean?
Yeah, rotary. Rotary phones. I actually remember rotary phones. Thank you very much. All right. So, yeah, that's cool. Next story, Breakman. Welcome, Dungeon Buster.
Sorry, I wasn't coming to us live from RPG site. Compile Heart teases a new RPG with the keyword dark. Compile Heart just put up a new cryptic teaser for their upcoming brand new RPG project. Famitsu.com posts an article that links to the teaser site and a YouTube video showing Compile Heart staff playing the retro RPG called EndQuest. But we don't think that this is the game being announced, as both the game and teaser site would eventually get glitched out. At the end of this DERQ, D-E-R-Q teaser, the following is written. This video is fiction. Information about the actual new RPG will be unveiled at a weekly Famitsu publishing on June 29th. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I don't really know what the fuck I just said.
That's, yeah.
So they're teasing something, but, well, maybe the game's called EndQuest, maybe it isn't.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. Like, this is the worst tease ever.
I know. This is dumb. I don't like non-stories like this. That's why we're going to go on to the next one from Gamatsu. Pillars of Eternity, complete edition announced for the PS4 and Xbox One. Let's see. It will be there August 29th. 505 Games will distribute a physical version of the game, which is pretty cool. In addition to the expansions, the White March parts 1 and 2. So there you go. You get the full shebang with that one, on the 29th of August, which is cool. Anybody play, Eric, did you play Pillars or maybe Dungeon
in
chat?
No, I haven't bought it yet because I have yet to find out a price point that I could stomach.
I gotcha. It's a little expensive, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Break? Probably not. Are you interested? Mm-mm.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's like a Baldur's Gate, Icewind Dale is what they're saying. So I'm always down for those type of games. Those games were really fun on PC.
Yeah, those are fun games.
Yeah. All right.
I'm more interested now than
Pillars of Eternity, but I'm not sure about that.
Dungeon Buster says it's good stuff, so I trust.
I'm more interested in it now after your speech about it than this article.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster said another son of a bitch. And by the way, Dungeon Buster's already working on an Exile. I hope you guys know that. Another Compile Heart RPG, I'm guessing, will have a lot of Moe in it. Probably.
Or it could be like Omega Quintet, but without the idol stuff, like Fairy Fencer F or the latest game that they did, Dark Rose Valkyrie, which I played a little bit, and I've heard a lot of terrible things, so I'm not expecting it to be a good time once I finally get back to it again.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says the save system will make you feel like you're aging, though, at least on PC, for Pillars of Eternity. Next story, let's go with Breakman. Breakman, do you have Root Letter
up? Coming to us live from Gamatsu. Root Letter coming to PC via Steam in 2017. Root Letter is coming to PC. Oh, my shit. God damn it, Gamatsu. God damn it.
What? You also posted the link to a completely different article.
I know. I posted that one. I posted this one first. I posted that one, too.
Just relax. Breakman's got it under control. Where did you leave off here, Breakman?
Publisher Kadokawa Games announced, and then Gamatsu decided to make that the first sentence after it was the fucking headline.
Yeah, exactly.
The visual novel, which first launched for PlayStation 4 and PS Vita in June 2016, has since sold more than 200,000 copies.
Yeah.
Made a PC debut via DMM Game Player in Japan earlier this year.
That's good enough.
So if you haven't bought this on console,
is it supposed to be 20,000 copies, though? It looks like there's a comma in the wrong spot. Okay, yeah. That's what I was wondering. That's why I wasn't sure if I want to say 200.
Yeah.
Or it's 200,000 and they forgot the O there.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Gamatsu, the new Silicon Era.
I know. I'm so disappointed. Yeah. And there's a synopsis of the story, but
I think we're good on the story. Unless you have anything else, Eric.
No, I don't really want to read it. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Eric. I don't want to read any more Gamatsu after that.
All right, Eric. Next Gamatsu story.
Story is Data Live Reincarnation HD announced for PS4. It says, the latest issue of Denkeki PlayStation reveals Data Live Rio Reincarnation HD is a collection of all three of Compile Heart's previously released PlayStation format Datalive visual novels for PlayStation 4. And it'll launch in Japan on October 12th at 6,800 yen for the standard edition and 8,800 yen for the limited edition. And the games included are Datalive Rene Utopia, Datalive Ars Install, and Datalive Twin Edition Reincarnation.
Holy hell, that's a mouthful.
And, all that shit. And the art style is they're using the artists from the Neptunia games, and the characters very clearly look like the Neptunia characters, but slightly altered.
Yeah, for sure. But that, you know, I don't mind that art. It looks fine to me. But all right, anything else on this, Eric?
It says the collection also includes the drama CDs and novels originally packaged as bonuses for each game.
That's a neat little addition. I hope to see something like that here. But all right, next story.
Here's your book version of the visual novel.
Yeah. Here, next story comes to us from everybody's favorite website, Silconera. Forager will have players building bases, crafting tools, and finding treasures. So basically, an 8-bit sort of
survival RPG, I guess.
Survival crafting RPG, I guess. So there you go. It says, Foragers is a top-down game of creativity and construction, letting players build their own hideouts, craft their own gear, and develop their own empires when they're not too sidetracked collecting items and fighting monsters. Cast a player out in a generated world on each run, letting them collect items out in the world to create homes, items, potions, and other handy things. If they can't find what they need or collect too much stuff, they can also build up their world's economy through trade, making deals with NPCs to bolster an empire for themselves. So it's not all collecting items, though, as players can find monsters and bosses to scrap with. Players will continually level up and get stronger as they play as well, so they'll be able to tangle with progressively stronger stuff over the course of play. So it's just like a normal RPG, guys. Grind and you'll get there. There's an extensive version of the game. Let's see. Forager started out as a game jam game, and developers looking to bring a more extensive version of the game to Steam, offering more abilities, treasure, skills, landscapes, events, secrets, monsters, etc. On and on. So there's a demo available now on itch.io if you're interested in a crafting RPG kind of mashup, 8-bitty type game, then that's, if that's your thing, then there you go. Let's see.
8-bitty sounds like a rapper name.
Yeah, I know. Dungeon Buster
itty
says,
bitty.
Yeah, Dungeon Buster says, but can we forage for ice cream? I don't know. You'd have to ask the developers of this game. Let's go with Break Ben again.
Coming to us live from Silconera, hand-painted action RPG, The Vagrant seeks to reunite a family. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
With nothing more than a research note from her father. Oh, wow. That's
we've never seen
just
that.
Just getting
before.
Right to it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, they're trying to show up Gamatsu. With nothing more than a research note from her father, Vivian sets out through haunted castles, golden fields of wheat.
Golden fields of wheat. That's our title for
I combined the two words somehow. Golden fields of wheat and moonlit towns filled with hostile dead and the vagrant, a hand-painted action RPG.
Looks
like
stunning.
It definitely looks like they're going for dark Dragon's Crown art style or Odin Sphere.
Yeah, I was going to say it looks a lot like Dragon's Crown or Odin Sphere, that type of that stylization, that art style, which is a good thing. I really enjoyed that art style. So,
and you can get it now on Steam, apparently.
Yeah, so get it.
Vivian will face many different foes and bosses in this side-scrolling adventure that seems heavily inspired by VanillaWare's titles.
Mm-hmm.
She'll have access to several different weapons and armor sets, as well as an array of various skills players can choose from to customize how she carves her way across the countryside. Crafting and enchanting will also further allow players to create just the right equipment for their playstyle. Players will find themselves heading towards one of the multiple different endings, depending on how they play through the 6 stages of the traditionally animated adventure. Although the developer does not go into detail on what sorts of decisions and actions the players will undertake to access different endings.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
There are different endings too, but they were all based on what you did at the very end of the game.
So you can get it now on Steam, it says. So, cool. Let me know how it is, Dungeon Buster. I bet you Dungeon Buster has it. He's got, like, endless pockets, man. That guy gets anything and everything. What's the secret to your success, Dungeon Buster? Because I need a little bit of that right now. All right.
He made a deal with the dragon, didn't he? And he did. Won it somehow.
Either the dragon or the devil, man. All right, Eric, next story, please.
The next story is about how Mistwalker announced their new games, but none of us are going to like it. Terra Battle 2 and Terra Wars headed to Westward. And there's some pictures if you look at the link. But
you skipped those, all right.
Yeah, don't worry. Keep going. Just all keep right. going, Eric.
I'll do the next one, too. Yeah. But that's all
just,
there really
just
is.
Just keep
here.
Going. Oh,
but,
that's it?
Mistwalker announced these two games, and they're for mobile and PC.
All right. No,
I was really hoping they'd do a console announcement, like give us the sequel to Lost Odyssey or something.
Yeah. I agree. That would have been really cool. But Terra Battle 2 looks all right. So, you know. All right, next story again, Eric.
Next story. It's supposed to be Trauma, but Traumare takes players on a horrifying dark wonderland. This is from Silicon Era. It says, while wandering the woods under crimson clouds, geez, that's a nice time to wander the woods, Noel soon finds himself crossing a bridge over a river of blood, finding a place filled with twisted creatures from his grandmother's stories and trauma.
Sounds very Red Riding Hood type thing.
And it looks like a visual novel, from what I can tell.
Yeah.
But like Red Riding Hood, but Corpse Party.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that quite a bit. Anything else on that, Eric?
Says Noel must quickly learn to deal with these living versions of the stories his grandmother used to share with him as a child, as they become quite dangerous in the real world. To do so, Noel will have to explore this distorted world and collect memories from the beings that live there, soothing them with the pieces of their past existence. But yeah, while players do in keeping Noel from danger and the beings that manage to help, they can get one multiple ending, so make the right choices.
Yeah, another multiple ending.
Saves.
Wow, an hour?
It's a chapter selection game and menu in the game so that you could just quickly jump back to a section without having to replay ports of the game.
I was going
to
mention when when Breakman...
It says this game's available for free on itch.io and
the prologue chapter is free. Not the whole
game. I can't say no to free.
Yeah. So get it, itch.io. I was going to make a comment about what Breakman said earlier about being able to skip ahead. Like, I'm playing Salt and Sanctuary now, and oh, man.
Oh, yeah. This is only the prologue chapter. I'm sure the game actually costs something.
Yeah,
but
you're not listening.
It may not actually exist right now. Yeah. I mean, it's just this chapter.
Eric, I told you this. You weren't listening. Next story comes to us from Gamatsu. White Day, a Labyrinth Named School. For PC, launches August 22nd. PS4 release delayed to, it says match, but I'm guessing they mean March. Oh, to match. Okay, never mind. I get the context. So, previously announced release date for the PS4 version, August 1st. And August 4th have also been pushed back to launch the game simultaneously on console and PC. So the 22nd for all those games and 25 in Europe if you're listening to us from Europe. So there you go. White Day Labyrinth. Labyrinth School. What type of game is this? It is a
horror game.
Survival horror. That's cool. Yeah, I'm down. I'm down for any of that stuff. I love that type of game. All right, Breakman, next story, please.
There's another story?
Is it?
No, that's actually it.
Oh, that's it. Shit, I'm ahead of myself. All right, we do
have...
There
is a homie discount, though.
I was just about ready to get that. There is a homie discount. It's the Steam Summer Sale. And it looks like some of the highlights, if you want to check that out, are on RPGsite.net. We got The Witcher 3 for $24.99, which is 40% off. That's really good. Nier Automata, $41.99. Pillars of Eternity, which we just discussed, $17.99, which is awesome. Disgaea PC for $7.99. That's a good deal. And there's a bunch of them that you can find on there. I'm not going to list. There's way too many.
I probably would have bought Nier if I not bought two RPGs this week.
Yeah.
I bought Cave Story Plus for the Switch and the Ever Oasis, which came out today.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool deal. So that's the homie discounts. Check out that big, long list of Steam. You can go to Steam's website, and they'll have them there as well, I'm sure, listed by RPG. All right, Twitter questions or comments, Breakman.
Okay, there was a lot of action on Twitter this week. Let's go ahead and find where it starts, because I should have been ready and stuff.
Yeah. You should have been ready and stuff. I like that, man. That's cool.
So anyway, let's see here. Basically, it started yesterday when Eric mentioned that he's going to review Transformers The Last Night for us.
Yeah. Hang on one second. Eric, are you moving something on your mic or something? Because I can hear something in the background. One of you guys, there's something going on. I don't know. Oh,
that's
great.
That's
not me. Something's rubbing up.
I'll mute myself real quick.
Yeah. I don't hear it now, so it must have been you, Brake.
He said
hear it now.
I cannot hear it now.
No.
So okay. We're good. Weird. Anyway, so it started with him saying that, in which I piped in with, "Whoa, don't spoil it." No, I'm just kidding. We really don't care if you spoiled that movie. And Freak 5 Chaos piped in with also, "Is it better than DQ8? Oh wait, of course it is.
No, it is not. You're Exile Freak 5, you son of a bitch. I don't think he's listening. He wanted me to put together, whip up a mobile version of RP Grinder so he could listen live, but that wasn't happening.
I was going to get to that, Frank.
Oh, yeah, keep going.
Frank responded with, "It's going to be a hell of a show today. I wonder what's up." And then Freak5Cast says, "You need a mobile way for me to listen and chat. That is free and available showtime today, so I can listen and chat today."
Yeah, see how he tries to dictate how this show goes? You know, he's like...
Why doesn't he make it for us?
Yeah. Make it
Stop
for
dictating.
Us.
Get to it.
Right. Stop telling me what to do, Freak 5, damn it.
And but, Frank with his more memes and videos and stuff. And Frank says that would require me to be clear of mind today, which Freak responds with, "That would require you to be clear of mind ever."
Yeah. He's exiled, son of a bitch. And so, Dungeon Buster's pushing his luck in chat, man. He's you know, he knows what he's doing, Dungeon Buster. I know what you're doing there, man. All right. Anything else, Break?
No, that's it.
All right. What have you been playing, Break, man? Same? Halo Wars 2, Record Keeper, what else?
Okay. Actually, Frank, I was going to play – well, I played for the weekend Titanfall for a couple more days, and that was a lot of fun.
Oh, nice.
And then it was taken away from me, and I was sad.
Oh.
I'm going to have to go to a GameStop and buy it for like – it's probably like $5 at this point.
Yeah.
You what do you mean by it was taken away from you?
Well, it was the free program on EA every E3, and sometimes holidays they'll give you like a free week to play games.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what that was. And – when Sunday ended, my free time with the game ended. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was gonna play something else. I was sad, and I was looking at the games. I saw one called the Gianna Sisters. Gianna
mm-hmm.
Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Twist Dreams Directal's Cut. That's the name of the game.
Okay. How is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, the name is ridiculous. Basically, it is an old school platformer.
Oh, nice. I like that.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that at all. There's some couple twists on it, but as far as like a platforming game goes, it's a hard game. But if you play it on normal like I am, there's tons of checkpoints, so it
you can
die as many times as you want. You just respawn, and it's cool.
Yeah,
and I've died a lot in some of these stages.
Yeah.
Some of the stages are kind of longer. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead, man. It's your time. Some of the stages were what?
Kind of long, so it's good to have checkpoints on them. But as far as how it differs from, a traditional platformer is there are two characters that you play in this game, but you change into the character. You change between those characters with the push of a button, and you change basically the world around you too. Mm-hmm. You go to kind of a nightmare world for one girl, and then you change, and it's kind of this happy, sunny world.
Yeah,
and music changes, and there's like hard rock for one, and there's kind of like a piano for the other one. Which is really cool. And each sister has one special move. So if you want to do a special move, like, you need one sister to do it. But you change into that sister on the fly.
Sounds awesome, man.
It's a lot of fun, yeah. I like it. I dig it. Yeah. I'm about halfway through it.
Yeah, anything else you
delve into? No, I really haven't played much else but that.
That's plenty, man. Dungeon Buster, you shouldn't have wasted your money, man. You should have saved your money and donated it to RP Grinders. He said he watched The Last Night thinking that he would give it a chance despite the reviews. So, and he's also resisting the Steam sale. Yeah, you need to donate to RP Grinders, Dungeon Buster. I need to drum up some money for RP Grinders somehow, some way for our web hosting, but we'll figure out something. But
There's one thing about this movie that actually kind of makes me a little bit want to watch it, is the fact that they're actually using the same Transformers from the last fucking movie, which is something completely new to the series, which is stupid.
Yeah, because every goddamn movie had a different set of Transformers, either on the Autobots or Decepticon side.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And they're like, wait, what happened to the other ones? But anyway, go on.
No, I'm just saying, those Transformer movies, it looks like they've been progressively getting worse and worse, in my opinion. Like, if I'm looking at strictly...
There are some surprising things that are good about the movie, but it's not going to save it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man.
I like the last one a lot more than the other ones, the 2 and 3.
Well, you did say...
The second and the third one, but But it's not like I'm in love with it and want to go watch it again type.
Right.
I think I gave Age of Extinction a 5 or a half or something.
That's barely average. Transformers looks like it's getting racked, man. 16% on Rotten Tomatoes. Go save your money and go see Wonder Woman instead. Probably a much better experience. Or Guardians.
Well, at least in 2 weeks will be Spider-Man.
Yeah, I can't wait for Spider-Man. I'm excited.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I forgot about that.
And there's another movie coming out like a week later. I forget which one.
Yeah.
Dunkirk, I think maybe the movie I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says the action sequences are neat. He can say that much. So basically.
Yeah, they did good camera work. So and the ending's not terrible.
That's what. Basically, what Dungeon is saying is, don't waste your money. That's what he's saying. I know Dungeon Buster speak. He's pragmatic, but that's what that is. So, all right. Let's see. What about you, Eric? What have you been playing?
Just more Period Cube and Akiba's Beat. Trying to get that game completed so I can sell it and pay off Final Fantasy 12, the Zodiac Age.
Yeah.
Which comes out on the 11th.
Yeah, that's the remaster, right? You're talking remaster. Yeah, that's cool. Weiland says all of Bayformer movies are cinematic cancer. And yes, I agree with you, Weiland, 100%.
He's saying that this is going to be his last one.
I hope.
It's not his last one. He's a fucking liar.
Yeah, well, he's a liar.
I'm hoping for once maybe he's not lying.
No, he's not. He is a fucking liar because they're already setting Transformers 6 for 2019.
Yeah, but that doesn't...
And they've got a Bumblebee movie next year.
Well, yeah, but he's not doing the Bumblebee movie. Somebody else is. And I'm saying he's not going to direct any more Transformer movies.
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
There are going to be more Transformer movies, but he's not...
He'll probably be his understudy who'll just do a bad job.
Eric, let Breakman finish before you speak, dude. Come on, man. We've been over
this. No, I was just saying that he says he's not going to direct any more Transformers movies, so hopefully we're going to get somebody who will do something better with it.
I guess Bay is like...
But there is going to be like a long franchise.
I guess Bay is finally realizing that he's made so much damn money off of this thing that he,
doesn't need to do anymore.
Share a little bit of love with another director, man. God damn.
He's probably tired of getting completely trashed in every newspaper ever and website and on Twitter.
What, do you think without Bay they can salvage this franchise?
And podcast? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he's...
I don't think they can salvage the current storyline, but if they reboot it, maybe.
Look who joined chat, MXT. MXT's in chat. What's up, MXT? MXT, you need to donate to the Grinders Fund so we can keep our website. I'll have more details. I need to talk to these guys and Mug about it.
Really? You targeted?
All right. Let's see. What have I been playing? I've been playing a little bit of Salt and Sanctuary. God damn it, that Tree of Min boss is so fucking hard. I spent literally 40 tries trying to beat that fucking boss, and I just couldn't get the timing down. My son plays it like 3 or 4 times, beats the fucking boss. I'm like, what? Really? You beat this boss in 3, 4 tries, and it took me 40 to not even beat it? One time, I had it down to 1 hit, and of course, I got my ass kicked. So, there you go. I'll put a cam girl on there for you too, MXT. He says he won't donate unless there's tokens to cam girls. I'll put a cam girl on there.
So you're going to partner with a cam girl now?
No. It'll be
business partnership. Like, we'll talk video games and strippers.
Yeah. Huh? Hey, I like that idea. Breakman. Wow. Yes. Oh, Wyland says, so like DSP. Yeah. How dare you, Wyland, compare grinders to DSP? We are far superior to DSP, man. Yeah. All right. Let's see. What's next? What's your stinko, Breakman?
I've got a few, so I don't know if you want to wait for mine or just want me to go ahead, because no, I got a few.
Go right ahead, man. Go right
okay,
ahead.
My first one goes to, well, it just actually happened today. Another one happened earlier in the week. There's one personal one and two that aren't, and I'll go ahead with the first one, which isn't a personal one, but it was basically, you know, I talked about Otto Warmbier last week, how he was in North Korea, and then we totally got sidetracked because, like, holy shit, Dungeon Buster went to North Korea, you know. Went through all that, and he came back and he died this week, and it's you know, it's big news. Everybody, I'm sure, has heard of it. It's a national tragedy. But well, North Korea came out today and said they are the real victims in all this because everyone is accusing them of harming him.
Oh boy, yeah.
Like what fucking assholes, man? Why do they always want to like rub salt in the wound and shit?
I don't understand this whole thing. He was under their care. What happened to Wambier when he was over there? That's the question that I got, man. Like, obviously.
Yeah, nobody knows.
Yeah.
They said knows. What, according to him, is he caught botulism, took a sleeping pill, and then that he fell into a coma.
That's a
which, according to doctors in America, that's not how it
that's
works.
Nonsense.
That's not possible.
Yeah.
That's, it has been something else knocked him into a coma.
That's
but the thing is, they didn't tell us ever at one point that he was in a
coma.
Those
are alternative facts, Break.
Alternative facts. But North Korea never ever told any of us that Warmbier was in a coma.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody found that out until he got here. In fact, his neighborhood had decorated like the trees and you know all their homes and stuff, and they were expecting like this because everybody heard that he's coming home.
Yeah,
and then he gets home and he's in a coma. It's like what the fuck?
Yeah,
and yeah, and he died this week.
Yeah,
because he was in really bad shape. Whatever they did to him.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says North Korea will spin anything to make themselves look good. They could have just expelled him from the country. And MXT, they should just flatten North Korea. I don't agree with that assessment, MXT. There are innocent people in North Korea that have been propagandized.
That's the same sentiment
I hear
that
so many
people use against Iraq and the whole Middle East. That's just bombed the place.
Yeah,
I so many horror stories about how the people in North Korea are treated.
Yeah,
here's so many horror stories.
The reason that you don't. So, yeah, I was just going to say, MXT says I don't get why no one will stand up to North Korea. It's because they are the wild card in every situation. MXT, to put it in. Old school wrestling terms, it's like Xbox doing a run-in on like Triple H or somebody. Everybody knows Xbox is not the draw, but you can always expect, you know, a wild card to do something really stupid.
No, see, here's the real reason we shouldn't go attack North Korea is because let's put this in wrestling terms like you were doing. It would be like attacking Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Well, no, I shouldn't pick him. I should pick somebody like lesser.
Yeah.
What was that guy's name? Fuck, he
totally
I can't remember. Anyways, it's like attacking Hollywood Hulk Hogan. He's part of the NWO. You attack him, and then all of a sudden, the whole NWO comes attacking you.
Yeah. Well,
basically, if we attack North Korea has, or I'm sorry, China and Russia have the backs of North Korea.
I'm not 100% sure on that, Breakman. From what I've read,
they make a lot of North Korea. There's a lot of like. back dealing and stuff.
We talked about that. There's no question about that. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
Conan. His name was Conan. That's what I was trying to think of.
Oh, yeah, Conan. Yeah, he's the lesser. Yeah, you picked the Mexican, you son of a bitch.
I'm sorry. He's, it's not how it was supposed to be. I was just trying to think, like, who was their, like, weak link? He's like the what's the guy in the D-Generation X? X-Pac. He's like the X-Pac of the WCW.
You, dude, I'm going to bitch slap you across this. I made that analogy with X-Pac, you son of a bitch. And you were like, no, it's like Hulk Hogan or Hollywood Hogan. MXT says, oh, God, not Conan. Yeah, he said it's like Brock Lesnar beating up Coco Beware. That's a good analogy. I dig. Although, how dare you make fun of that Hall of Famer, Coco Beware, MXT, you son of a bitch. You're exiled. You can't, you know Coco Beware had all the moves. So.
There's nobody that's not pissed at North Korea for something, yeah. But yeah, no, China and Russia have a lot of backdoor deals with them.
Yeah,
and as Dungeon Buster says, China still aids North Korea. Just because they cut back on coal imports doesn't mean that they have halted all business with
them. Oh, no question about that. No question about that. All right, what are your other stinkos, Break?
Okay, the other stinkos. And speaking of, like, throwing salt on a wound, Bill Cosby, as we all knew, was, it was this case, like, was thrown out because it was a hung jury. Because there are always people that won't convict a strong, powerful man or a police officer, for that matter. Oh. But, you know, like, if you've got a lot of money, you can get the lawyers to get the – and you get the support. Like, he's got so much love for being, you know, America's dad in the 80s and such like that.
Yeah.
So because of all that, there were and I'd heard that some jurors actually said like there were a couple that said, you know, he's been punished enough. And this was so many years ago.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
And,
man.
And that's actually they said that about the about a local cop in that just had a mistrial, too. That fake cop we talked about. One of the jurors.
Yeah. You know.
Said the same damn thing. Like he suffered enough. He's been punished enough. Like no, how?
Yeah, there's been no suffering whatsoever. I've heard the same argument made for Yanez, who killed Philando Castile. I mean, this is the same theme that we're getting. I mean, it worked opposite with Bill Cosby too. Bill Cosby should be in jail, man. If you've read any of those transcripts, man, that dude, is a psycho.
I know, but that's not the actual stinko, because we all knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
My stinko goes to Cosby now is going to hold special conferences, mostly for young men, to explain them how to avoid getting busted for sexual assault.
I saw that, too. So this is how you
Are
get
you
away with it,
young
man.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no.
He's going to teach people how to get away with assaulting women?
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, God.
It was framed differently. It was framed like town halls, but I get your drift, Breakman. Yeah, this is shameful.
What he called it. They call it something different, but it's basic. But even from the what it's called.
Yeah, it's a town hall. That's what they're framing it as, and it ain't no fucking town hall. It's a disgrace. It's awful. I don't know what else to say about it.
People who say that this country doesn't have a misogyny problem, it does.
Well, it's got a misogyny problem, and it's also got a racist cop problem, too. I mean, it's super apparent. So
it's also got people that don't do their jobs who are supposed to be public servants.
Yeah, that's true. I've been battling with people on Twitter about cops, like, all day. I'll talk about that in my stinko. What else you got, Breakman?
I couldn't find the title. So, last week, it was Saturday, I was, holy shit, there's an ad.
Okay.
That was a really loud fucking ad. Like, wow. Holy shit.
I didn't hear it. Thank goodness.
Glad I didn't hear it.
Yeah. It was a porn ad, wasn't it? Wasn't it, Brady?
I won't speak on that. So last week I was out working in the yard, I was getting pretty filthy because I'm out working in the yard and I was going back to get a bottle of water, and I noticed down the road that there was a waterman break. I'm like, oh shit, that's not good. And I noticed, and my neighbor is looking at it too. And I asked her, "Are you going to call the water company?" And she said she already did. And I said, "Oh shit!" So I ran in the house and took a shower.
Mm-hmm.
Got in there, so I washed my head, and it was getting all soaked up. And then the water pressure just quickly died on me.
Oh, did you have soap all over?
Yes. Ugh. I was soaking wet, covered in soap, standing in the shower with no water.
Oh, my goodness.
Because
man.
I was expecting, you know, that the water company would come and turn the water off. But no, apparently my line is somehow connected to theirs, even though it's way down the road.
You never take a shower when you see a
main
break.
I had to take a shower. I was like, I was covered in filth. And I knew, like, looking at that water main break, it was going to take them a while, and it did take them until the next day.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was covered in soap. And lucky for me, right next to the bathroom is the beer fridge. And I keep some bottled water in the beer fridge. So I got some cold ass bottled water out and washed rinsed off the soap.
You had to get bottled water to wash off. I think I'm glad. I mean, you know, Mud might have been interested in you being all full of soap and stuff, man. But that's fucking classic break, man. You see the water main break. Somebody needs to do this in animated form, man. We need somebody that's talented with animation.
Well,
I
know, like, the water company won't, like, just come in. They're they won't come and just turn the water off. They will come and tell you first that they're going to turn the water off. So I thought I had a little bit of time.
But
I wasn't, like, I was just rushing up to get there.
Right. Did Mrs. Brakeman see this by any stretch?
No. She's
working. God, man. That would have been the only thing better, just to hear Mrs. Brakeman's account of Brakeman, like, having soap all over. That, to me, that that would be awesome, man. That's a shame, man. All right, anything else, Brakeman?
No, I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
Dude, trust me. If I was an animator, I would have already made a cartoon about it right now and played it and put it up on YouTube. Maybe that can be an incentive to some of our lady listeners, Brakeman. You take a bubble bath and take a video of it. That might get us a few cents there. You know, I don't know. Just throwing out ideas. All right, Eric, what is your Stinko of the Week?
My Stinko is – remember how we talked about the games that we're looking forward to on E3?
Yes.
One of them was The Last Knight. I'm not so enthusiastic about it now. This is an article from thecraveonline.com. It says, The Last Knight's dev anti-feminist tweets come back to haunt him.
Yeah.
And it says, The Last Knight creative it's a co-director, so he's co-developing games, so he's not the only one working on it, but still. Says creative director Tim Soray has been Soret, I don't know how to pronounce it. He may or not be French, because Gal Gadot is Gal.
Yes, sorry.
It's not Gadot, it's Gadot.
Yes, keep
going. But forced to explain old tweets that were unearthed following his game's reveal at E3 2017, some Twitter users shining a light on the anti-feminist and pro-Gamergate views he's expressed on the social network. And back in 2014, sure, this was 3 years ago, but people don't change that much. I mean, they can, but they usually don't. But this is a... how the game would take place in a future where progressivism has spiraled out of control, and that would feature a cyberpunk world where modern feminism won, and that can mean a lot of things nowadays, but we know where he's going with this. And yeah, he did have ties to Gamergate back then, but he's apparently tried to do damage control by saying he doesn't feel this way anymore.
Well, that's good. But
he could be lying.
Well, he could be telling the truth.
The game still seems to be sending mixed signals about how its concept is supposed to be going. Because basically, the basic plot boils down to how people have become apathetic because of their overuse of technology. It's basically just made them shitty people. Kind of like today, but not really. And he's trying to tie in this Gamergate thing where he's trying to deny because he obviously doesn't want to get in trouble and have his game not sell.
Well, I've always been one to say if you do things or say things in life, you know, there is a point where something just as bad is going to happen to you. It's not a karma thing.
The problem isn't that he has these views. I mean, that is a problem I have personally, but I can divorce a person's from their work, but he's injecting his political opinion into his work, and now he's trying to deny it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, the jury's still out on it. I have not played the game, in fairness.
I had another article that goes into more depth of what the plot's actually about. I can't do it justice here because it doesn't talk about everything here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's okay, man. Well, like I said, let's reserve judgment, until all the dust settles and we really find out what's going on with that whole thing. This, like, Gamergate, dude, there were people on the right side of things, wrong side of things, in the middle, you know, all kinds of different things. So I have to believe that people are good and they can change, guys, because that's, you know, that's why we're human. That's why we have humanity, is the ability to forgive and you know, so if he's truly on the up and up, then
yeah, I didn't actually mention any of the tweets that he made in the past.
Yeah, well, let's hear one. Anything super offensive?
This says after the last night was unveiled, Sorrett's tweets were circulated online, including assuming that he's against feminism and requests to use Vivian James, who is the quote unquote mascot of Gamergate. Yeah. You keep in mind these are from 3 years ago, but it says, this newer one says, was excited about the last night, but apparently one of the lead develops is a Gamergate supporter, so there goes that. Don't know if he's gotten any better, but this is the lead dev. And then he proceeds to show pictures from 2014 where he's saying, my game takes place in a future where progressivism is spiraled out of control, and then says, is Vivian James a character we can use in a commercial project? I'm super interested for my Cyberpunk project. And here's another one in here where he's talking to somebody named Dan Flessler, where he says, Gamergate people are for journalistic integrity. That's funny.
Yeah.
Honest debate, transparency, and inclusiveness, and an egalitarianism. Those are all red flags of people who are being shitbag weasels.
Yeah. Yeah. They're big time red flags. I don't know. I'll just play the game and you know, I'll watch videos on it and I'll reserve judgment until then. I mean, I thought Gamergate kind of died down a little bit because it's just kind of common sense, isn't it, by now? Like,
I'm more concerned whether or not the game's cyberpunk setting and message will actually mesh well together, because I think the big problem, one of the big reasons people have stayed away from cyberpunk is because nobody can really do it well.
Yeah. Well, it is an interesting aspect, kind of tethered RPG territory. There are a few out there. I know Deus Ex kind of had that vibe and a few others, but there's a lot of potential there for Cyberpunk. I used to play that game, Cyberpunk, the tabletop game, and it was good, but I'm curious to see, like, what kind of reviews this game is getting before I make a judgment on it, before I play it myself. So anything else on that, Eric? Do you have anything to say on that break?
No, not really.
All right. Let's see. Mystinko. The house race in Georgia, which was an absolute disaster for Democrats. I don't care which way they try to spin that they closed the gap. They lost. That's six special elections and six losses for the Democrats. I don't know what it's going to take for that sector of politics to wake up.
There's only like a handful of them that are like they get it. Yeah. But for the most part, people are still rallying behind like the Clintons. For instance,
I don't understand it, man. Like, there's so many other candidates. I think Nina Turner's got the right thinking behind her. Ossoff did not. He was more of a centrist right Republican than a Democrat, if you ask me. There was the special house election in Montana with that piece of shit Gianfiorno or whatever the hell his name was, the guy that body slammed. This guy assaulted someone and was elected. I really don't know what it's going to take. I think it's just going to take somebody like Bernie Sanders to maybe a younger version of Bernie Sanders for somebody to get behind. Because if you can't get behind Bernie Sanders, I really don't know what to tell you. Like, single payer health care, all that type of stuff. You know, I don't know. I'm just getting tired of losing. But it doesn't seem like the Democrats are tired. So that's my stinko of the week. What my sweeto of the week, however. Oh, and I wanted to real quickly talk about Cops. That's another
thing. Oh, right, right. You were going to talk about Cops. That's right.
I always talk about Cops.
I want to hear.
I really don't know what else people of color can do, Breakman. I'm terrified of police officers. I've been railing on Twitter, like, I'll never call a police officer for any fucking reason. I don't care if I get in a car accident. I don't care if I see someone else getting hurt. I don't want to die by the hands of a police officer. I've had too many experiences in my life. I've seen too much. I know they're anecdotal. But if you add all of these things happening up, it's very, very disproportionate, and it's very, very concerning for anybody of color. So when somebody is talking about Black Lives Matter, it has nothing to do with putting a certain race over another. It's just raising awareness that this shit is fucking happening. And it is concerning, and it should be concerning for everybody in this country, not just me or the African American community or any minority in this country. I mean, shit's crazy. It's fucking crazy, and it's just getting worse. So, you know, it is what it is.
I thought you had like a run-in with the police.
I did not, but this tells you how good and bad cops are. Like, about 3-4 weeks ago, I think I even talked about it on the show, I ran out of gas in my truck and had to walk to get it. And instead of the cop stopping to see if I was okay, he just looked at me and drove right on by, which, to be honest with you, I was actually very happy he did not get out of the car, because I don't know what else to do. Like, I can't put my hands up. I can't put my hands behind my back. There's nothing. I just saw a video today where a police officer said that somebody was driving erratically. But if you look at the video, the guy was obeying every law. He, you know, stopped. He had his turn signal on, got pulled over, and got the shit beat out of him. And now he's probably going to spend a lot of time in jail for what? A cop beating his ass. That's what he's going to be in jail for. I'll try to find that link so people can look at that.
Cops with way too much authority.
They're out of control. I've been saying this for as long as Grindr has been on the air. They are completely out of control. I just hope that
there should be consequences for shooting and murdering.
I not only think there should be consequences, Breakman, but I'm of the mind that there should be extra consequences for somebody that supposedly knows the law inside and out, like a cop, right? So if a cop gets caught speeding and it's not an emergency, their fine should be double or triple.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree with you.
If they murder somebody, which I've seen on multiple videos, they should get life in prison times two. If a cop steals something, which I've seen cops steal donuts, they shouldn't get the normal sentence of whatever it is, 30, 90, whatever, you know, however much it is. They should get double that. Any penalty that a private citizen gets should be double for a civil servant, because they know better. You rape somebody, you get double the sentence. You murder somebody, you get double the sentence. You steal something, you so much as have a parking ticket, that parking ticket is double. And I think that would be the proper deterrent. I mean, if you're going to use those tactics on poor people and people of color, then you should be subjected to something even worse, because you guys know better, you know. That's how I feel about it, Brake. I don't know if you guys are Eric. I don't know if you guys have a different opinion. Like, Brake, it sounds like you're kind of in agreement. Like, that would be a really good deterrent, wouldn't it? And actually go through the process of convicting, actively convicting people. I think juries are another huge issue with these things.
There definitely are.
Yeah.
You get people holding out. Like, there are people that flat out refuse to prosecute police for one thing.
Yeah.
They try and weed those people out in the process, but sometimes those people still get in.
Well, they need proper vetting for sure. brake band. There needs to be psych evaluations. I don't know how anybody can just get out of their car and start shooting. Like, it's crazy to me. It sounds to me like these people are no different from the Zodiac Killer. You know what I mean, brake man? I mean, I know that's
to me, it's one thing if the person they're shooting at has a weapon and they're attacking them.
Yeah.
But we're not seeing that in a lot of these videos, you know?
Well, even the lady that they tried to frame as psycho, the African-American lady that just got killed because she had a knife in her hand, just because you have a knife in a hand doesn't mean that you're, you know, going to use it. I mean, yeah. She was mentally ill.
Cops are so they're trigger happy.
Yeah,
that's why, like, usually when I deal with a cop, I'm just, yes, sir, no, sir. Like, I'm not – I try and just do anything they say, whatever you want me to do.
And that's a fundamental.
Some of them might also have PTSD.
Yeah.
Again, psych evaluations, please.
Breakman, you touched on a point that nobody wants to talk about.
If they're trained, Eric, and they're also trained poorly, too. If they're trained to treat everything as a threat, they're going to react how they're supposed to react during the threat.
Yeah, I think the training is a lot of the problem.
Training is – I think psych evaluations are a big part of the issue. I think a lot of people that go into it become mentally ill because of the fact that the job is hard.
It's definitely a hard job.
Here's the difference.
There's no denying that.
Here's the fundamental difference, Breakman. If you get pulled over, you yourself or Eric or maybe even Mug or any other white person, they have a distinct advantage. Like you are able to say, yes, sir, no, ma'am, yes, ma'am, and walk away with your life. And a lot of times if a black person, gets pulled over, that's the last thing that they're ever going to say. Is yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. There's a good chance that that's going to happen, and that's egregious, and that should be something that we never have to deal with in this country. But
until they get better training where they're not as gun happy, like I don't want to get shot. I'm doing whatever they tell me to do.
That's
pavement.
That's what I'm saying, Brake Man. Like
I personally like to see a ban on guns, but it's not going to happen.
No, it's not even about banning guns, which I would be okay with.
This is about the police. This isn't about guns.
Right.
This is about their tactics. Like they're taught to be aggressive.
Yeah. Well, even
there are some cops that are like I said, I've talked about in my area.
I'm just saying in Japan, like the complete lack of guns has even spread to the police where the police don't even really want to use their guns.
Yeah.
Mm. I forgot what I was saying.
Yeah. No, here's the deal. Like the bigger arc that I'm trying to make break is I'm not trying to make like Caucasian people feel like they're privileged, but that privilege does exist. Like you have the opportunity to say no, ma'am, yes, ma'am, and get away with it. A black person can get pulled over for being black and killed for doing nothing, as in the case of Philando Castile. If anybody should be enraged right now with the Philando Castile murder, which that's what it was, it should be the NRA. The NRA is always talking about people that get some injustice when it comes to gun control. Why shouldn't they be right now talking about Philando Castile and the people that didn't give him the liberty to carry his gun, which, by the way, he had a legal firearm and he had a concealed weapon permit. So, and he was not reaching for that gun. The officer asked him for his ID. He said, "Officer, I'm reaching for my ID." And he was reaching for his ID. And look where it got him.
And a lot of this is like what I was trying to say before was cops are taught to be more aggressive. They need to be taught to de-escalate situations.
Absolutely.
And when they go in – and what I think happened with Ray Tensing, he went into the situation seeing a black man.
Yep.
And he immediately like all this – he's thinking he was up to no good because he pulled him over for something stupid.
Yeah.
But it's against the law in Ohio, but it is something stupid. Yeah. The front license plate thing I think is so stupid.
Yeah, it's
dumb. Shouldn't have them. And if you look at like rich people's cars, for instance,
they don't
somebody
have
a Porsche.
Yeah.
They don't have fucking front license plates, but they don't get ticketed everywhere they go.
Yeah.
So this was him pulling over a black man and immediately having with thoughts of, you know, this could go bad and stuff like that. Whereas he should have gone into the situation not trying to start a fight. And if when Sam DeBow, who was the man who was murdered, basically, tried to pull away and tried to leave, he should have just let him leave.
Yeah.
He wasn't a threat. It's not like he was he wasn't like waving a gun around or something like that. That'd be different. I mean, you had his license plate, for fuck's sake. You pulled him over, you could go to his house and talk to him later. Look, you don't have to instead of apparently they're taught not to reach their hands in the cars, but that's in the books, but I've heard some of them say that, well, you know, but in certain situations, something could happen and that could save a life if you reach in the car. You're going against your training, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there's
don't
always
forget all the people who actually manage to get incarcerated, but then are treated like shit in prisons and then they die there.
There's always, don't get me started on that, Eric, because I got a whole tangent on that, but there's always an excuse when it comes to pulling over a person of color. Brickman. You know what I mean? Like, he looked like a suspect. What does the suspect look like?
That, definitely.
Don't forget the cops that killed other cops.
Well, that's, I mean, only if it's racially charged. I mean, that's, you know, that's been proven too, man. Like, there's so much that, only so much that a person can do with their hands up, with their hands behind their back. What else do people of color have to do, especially African Americans? What else do they have to do to be in compliance? I'd like to know that, because to this point, there's a double standard. I'll give you an example. Did you see that the story about the guy in Portland that killed two white guys because they were trying to protect a couple of Muslim women from harassment? Yeah. All right. That ended – you would think that would have ended in the cops shooting and killing the guy, right? No. You know what happened? It was nonviolently taken care of, and it, as well it should be. But that should be every time. Can you imagine if that guy had been black? He wouldn't be living right now. He'd be you know, on bail with $100 or whatever the cheapest, you know – thing you can
if
get.
They would train police better and then hold them to their training. In other words, if they disobey their training, which he did, and he's really not punished for it all in this case.
Yeah.
Like, if they're going to be actually punished for when they go outside of their training, which that'd be one thing. And then in this case, when you go outside your training, you kill somebody.
Yeah, I agree, Breakman. It's a shame. You know, the training is not there. The pay is not there. I understand that, but I'm tired of hearing they have a hard job. I'm tired of hearing that. That should never be come up in an argument with a cop, because they know fully what they're getting into. It's like telling somebody that goes on an oil rig to work that it's dangerous. Of course they know it's dangerous, but the money is there. So that's why they do it. You know what I'm saying? Wyland says stop, shop Target. And MXT says, I do not have PTSD. He says, if I get pulled over, they will shoot me. Goddamn ads. He said, that's because, Ustream has ads. Sorry about that. But, yeah, they would not shoot you, MXT. I've seen your ugly mug. So, all right, let's move on to our sweetos. We spent enough time.
What if they're trying to shoot him to help him, like shoot him in the face to make it prettier or something?
Maybe, man.
The
that
pretty gun.
Might help.
a cute him up gun.
Yeah. The weather here has been actually pretty nice. I'm not dying of heat exhaustion. It was like 67 today and overcast, which is perfect. So that's my sweeto. What about yours, Breakman? You have anything uplifting?
I'm a person who likes to have his cake and eat it too.
Yeah?
You know how Memorial Day is the unofficial beginning of summer. So basically we started celebrating summer like 3 weeks ago, you know?
Yeah.
Well, summer didn't really start until a couple days ago.
Yeah.
So it's summertime again. So when unofficial summer ends and on Labor Day, because all the kids, they have to go back to school and stuff like that, I don't have to go back to school. So summer doesn't end for me until when the calendar says it ends.
Even though
it started for me in May.
Yeah, I totally agree. Summer's almost a half-year thing for me too, man. So that's cool. Yeah. So anything else, Break, that you have, Sweeto?
No, that's it.
All right. Eric, Sweeto.
I don't got any this week.
All right. No Sweeto for Eric. All right. Break, I think you – do you have a Lulz or is that
– that's last week, so I just didn't release it.
Let's move on to your reviews, Eric. I'll go ahead and let you do them in a row, Eric. I've got to take a quick second here.
Oh, I can't wait to get the Transformers because I want spoilers.
All right. This is a review for the questions. This is a review for the not so much the first season ReZero, so much it is the first arc. I mean, it is the first season, but if they had got more of the story done, they could have probably made it a little bit longer if they wanted to. But it's a story about it's another story in the trapped in a parallel world type of deals. There's a lots of those in Japanese animation or Japanese media in general. But basically, it's a guy named Subaru gets transported to another world, and not only that, but he's stuck in a time loop every time. So every time he dies, he'll go back to a certain reset point, almost like a video game, kind of like a checkpoint. So it's using the same similar concept as The Edge of Tomorrow. I forgot. Oh, yeah, it was called Live, Die, Repeat. It was renamed to that. But basically it's about him being stuck in this fantasy world. And he meets this girl, and shortly after meeting her, something of hers is stolen. And, well, I think it was stolen before they met up, but this is what she tells him. And anyways, they go to this loot house to see if it was pawned off there, and that's where his first encounter with death happens. And basically, it takes him a while to figure out he's going through a loop, and you'd think he would have caught on a lot earlier, though, but whatever. But
I hate when characters are really stupid.
So he just takes all the data from all the previous failed attempts and then tries to formulate a plan that will actually be successful, and usually when that ends up happening, he'll get a new checkpoint. But it eventually leads to him meeting up with the girl again and then going to this mansion that this regent has. He's like the lord of the region, I guess. And he's like the top mage in the area. And he ends up deciding to work there because he has nowhere else to go. And he meets the maids there who are twins, who are Ray. The other girl's name, by the way, is Amelia. But he meets these two twins, and their names are Rem and Ram. And you find out later that they're actually demons. But they're just a race of species on the planet. There's really nothing significant to them being demons other than the fact that they can use magic powers and become super strong. But the actual demons that you hear in stories and stuff. But that's probably why they call them demons. But because he doesn't take... Because he's kind of a stupid guy, he doesn't really take the time to endear himself to these the other people of the mansion, and he ends up dying again because they don't trust him. So he has to work on that for the next couple episodes, and then that's just the basic gist of how the flow goes. But he also ends up falling in love with this girl, so he's trying to figure out a way that he could support her and get her to love him. And mm-hmm. so it's kind of a love story, but it's also suspense and drama. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of sad endings, and this show is pretty violent.
Yeah.
But he fails so many times that he actually falls into depression at some point. And Ram has to basically cheer him up.
Yeah.
So and I thought that whole scene in that episode was really good. But I'm going to give the first season I'm going to give it a 9. I think it's a show people should be It's more interesting than the way I probably described it. I'm terrible at these things.
Are you talking about – which one are you talking about? ReZero?
Yeah.
Okay.
ReZero, Life in Another – in a Parallel World. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah. All right. What about your next one, Eric?
Also, the Re and Zero part is just short for Reset to Zero because that's what happens basically when he dies.
Okay. All right. Let's move on.
He also can't tell people about his condition. Otherwise, he'll cause them to die or he'll get really sick and I'll just be unable to tell them anyway.
All right. Let's move on to your next one, Eric, for time's sake.
Miss Hakusai. This is a film that at first I thought was a Studio Ghibli film because art style is somewhat similar, but it's actually a Production IG joint. But it's about it's an adaptation of a Japanese manga series that's historical fiction. So it's set in 1814, and it's telling the story of Katsushika Oi, who is called Oei in this story. But who's following the work of her father, Hakusai, who's a woodblock painter. I forget what that's called in Japanese. But it looks very similar to Sumei or this other style that also has an E in it and at the end of it. But he's probably referencing the actual artist himself, though. So that's like their last name, the family name, E. Okay. But or O is their family name. But I don't know how that all works. They don't really take time to explain it at all, and you're just supposed to know these things. But anyways, it's about their weird relationship because number one, they're both eccentric, so. They're both just goofy, and the other part is where her father Tetsuo is also kind of a coward who hates or fears sick people, and there's the whole situation with Oe's half sister being born blind, and later on getting sick, and the father not wanting to visit her because of those reasons.
Right,
but while that's going on, they're also dealing with other painters and people who have bought their paintings, usually rich people, who are superstitious and believe that their paintings have power. And so they usually go there to visit this – either do something about the painting, like adding something to it to make it less scary or something, or getting rid of the photo altogether. And, well, the movie, during the scenes where they're describing these events, there is some mysticism in the movie, but a lot of it is just, it's probably something else. Let's figure out what this something else is. But,
all right, so what are you giving Miss Hakusai?
I'm going to give it an 8.
All right.
It's a decent movie.
There you go.
It's only an hour and a half long, too, so
yeah,
it's not a very long movie.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good. Let's move on to your next one, Eric.
Next one is
Next one was Burp.
Next one's Oremo.
All right.
Which is basically a shorthand for Ore and Emo. Like, there's a whole phrase there, but it basically translates to my little sister can't be this cute. And it is a story about a brother and sister who have an estranged relationship because he grew up and didn't want to do certain things with her anymore, and she kind of resented him for it. And now that he's older, he wants to reconnect, but it's a struggle because she's stubborn and a kind of a brat. But it eventually does become a love story, so there is incestuous overtones. But there is no actual incest going on in this. In fact, the entire story is about them realizing their feelings for each other rather than them actually being in a relationship.
Okay, so it's
And then them deciding just what to do when they have this realization.
Oh, so that's going to happen after the show ends. Okay. Yeah. I'm not more comfortable about it.
Yeah.
I'm still out.
And it goes on for 2 seasons. But I think what was interesting for me, at least for this, was how they explored the eroge subculture of otakudom.
Mm-hmm.
In Japanese culture, you get to learn a little bit about it that way. But I think the characters themselves aren't that interesting because it's mainly about the other two. I think they could have wrote the characters a little bit stronger. They probably just wanted to focus on the other ones a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not bad, but it's definitely not a show for everyone, and you might lose interest after the first 5 episodes, but if you don't, I think it's worth watching to the end. But if you decide to watch this show, you're probably going to have to go to other streaming sites or find torrents to find the last 3 or so episodes of each season because they removed them from Crunchyroll for whatever reason.
All right. We do not endorse downloading torrents on the show. Just a disclaimer. No. All right.
I'm saying if you want to do that, you can do that. Right. But I'm going to give the show – I'm going to give it a 7.
All right. That's well above average. That's fine. All right. And your final one.
Another thing that's interesting about the show is that each opening and ending is – well, the openings are always slightly different, but each ending is completely different.
Yeah.
There's only one episode where they decided to show the ending at the beginning and the opening at the end.
Okay. On to your last one, Eric, Transformers.
Transformers the Last Night, or as I joked on Twitter yesterday, Transformers the Last Turd.
Yeah. these are probably spoiler alert.
Yeah, I'm going to spoil it because I kind of don't want people to pay money to see it in theaters.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anyways, this is supposedly the last project that Michael Bay is going to direct for the Transformers franchise.
Yes. I can't
believe it's crossed.
Although I think the description I read on Yahoo Movies for it said it was the last installment of the series, but that's not true at all.
No,
so they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah,
there's already a season 6 planned, and then they're planning a Bumblebee movie, which features him in the 80s doing whatever.
Sort of like what's
– until he meets up with Wiki Wiki.
Sorry. It was sort of what he was doing – sort of what they're doing with the Star Wars franchise. Like they're having
the
movies every other year. Now they're going to have offshoots of them too. Like there's going to be a Han Solo movie next year. So there's going to be a Bumblebee movie and then there's going to be something after that.
And there's another one which is apparently about the Autobots and Decepticon Wars before they decided they wanted to go into hiding.
Ugh, I'm so Transformered out, man. I watched the first and second one, and I'm like, I'm done with that franchise. That franchise is awful.
Obviously, I'm going to start with a score of 10, and we're going to tick off points for each infraction this movie has.
Okay, let's do it.
Loses about 2 of them because of the character designs are awful. Mm-hmm. Just like they have always been. But the one good thing about this movie is that they actually took time to recolor the Transformers so it's easier to tell which Transformers which. And not only that, but they decide to introduce when they do the roll call for the Decepticons crew, surprisingly they didn't do this for Autobots. But I guess they're assuming we know who they are because we saw the last film. But they should have done this from the very beginning, but they actually – like do a freeze frame of each villain and then list their name. And I have no idea who these characters are, but I like that they did that anyway.
Yeah.
It's like,
but they didn't do that for the good guys. They only did it for the bad guys. Gee, thanks, Michael Bay.
I know.
Yeah.
Thanks, Michael Bay.
Like I said, because they expect us to know who the heroes from the last film were.
Well, that's what pissed me off the most about
sure the Steve crew that Megatron has weren't in the last film. I think only maybe 2 of them were.
Mm.
I thought they killed everyone except for Megatron in the last film.
MXP
killed everybody that were fighting, but I think he still had soldiers elsewhere.
MXP,
he might have.
MXT is exiled. He said, Wonder Woman already got greenlit for a sequel called Wonder Woman 2, Get My Dinner, you son of a bitch, MXT. Dungeon Buster says...
That would pretty much cause Diana to sword you.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says, I think I actually enjoyed watching Transformers more than The Mummy. Oh, weird, man. I think I would have enjoyed The Mummy slightly better.
I don't know. I think I'd be with him.
Maybe for the Transformers 6 instead of Wahlberg, as I hear he's not going to be in it anyways, they could hire Tom Cruise. And he can run from Transformers and work.
Yeah, that'll probably work. They could do anything with the Transformers series. They could do Transformers, the first shit, and it would make a gazillion dollars.
Anyways, there's this whole plot about how since the Transformers have been there for like a long-ass time, they obviously were around during the Dark Ages. So they had this plot about King Arthur – and Merlin, even though Merlin's just a charlatan who doesn't actually use magic, decided to enlist the help of the Transformers. And he was apparently the first of this group of people called the Witwickans, which have nothing to do with Sam Witwicky, by the way. Although it was like some weird tangential reference. Not the same thing, but we want to make a head nudge. Although they apparently like referenced Witwicky. So they acknowledge his existence because apparently they're an organization of people who've been working to keep the secret of Transformers from the rest of the world, and apparently they've been monitoring the situation with Witwicky, and that's why they referenced him.
Yeah. It's funny because I was just about ready to say the only thing that would make this worse, this movie worse from what I'm hearing, is if Shia LaBeouf was in it in some way. And Dungeon Buster confirmed my fear. He said Shia
appears in the photo. He's in it as a photo. That's it.
God. Okay, when he shows up, I say that's one of the points where you tick off a point.
Yeah, that's another point off.
The only thing that I really like about this one over the other Transformers, and I haven't seen this one yet, is that they actually bring back the Transformers that survived the last movie.
Yeah.
Whereas other movies ended and you weren't sure who was alive and who wasn't at that point. Like, you know, Optimus Prime was alive and Shia LaBeouf was alive, and that was about it.
Yeah. And not only that, but apparently so we go back to the modern era, and there's this woman who's working at this professor in this place in England somewhere, and she's apparently descendant of the last Witwicken or of Merlin, not Witwicken, sorry. And so, like, Merlin had this staff that commanded, I guess, a drone of a Transformer, and the medallions. There's some medallion thing too that's also connected to it, but. They don't really explain why the medallion's really that important, but it, you know, whatever. That's how bad the story is in this movie.
Well, I was just about ready to say, Eric. Dungeon Buster said the story was amazingly bad, even for a Bayformers movie. He says the Witwickens.
Apparently the last Witwicken was like Sir Anthony Hopkins for whatever reason. Let's put Anthony Hopkins in this movie.
Yeah, whatever.
He has this weird, small-sized butler Transformer guy with him who honestly ruins the movie more than he adds to it. Mm-hmm. Because, like, their attempts at humor in this movie are just awful. So there's another point.
There's story, an attempt at so making a
so
movie.
So we take 3 points off, so this is sitting at a 7 right now.
Eric. There's a somebody trying to make a movie that made a big mistake in the movie. So, you know, that takes away from the movie. So, all right. So we're already down to what? Seven on – okay. Continue.
7 points. And, of course, not only does this movie do terrible jokes, but some of those terrible jokes are dick and fart jokes. So that's another point.
Okay. So now we're down to six.
Yeah,
okay. Hold on.
And in Transformers movie, I kind of don't want dick and fart jokes.
I wrote down 1 to 10. Let's see here. We're down to, marked off, 10, 9, 8, 7 at number 6.
Yep, 6. We're down to 6. Okay, continue on, Eric.
And I did like the camera work and the action, so that's good. But
Wait, put it back on now.
What?
Do I put a point back on now since
you like something? No, I'm just mentioning it. That's just a point that won't get taken away. That's all I have to say. So there's Dungeon Buster saying here. Speaking of the metal everywhere just being forgotten about, there's a Transformer badass who seemed to have forgotten about and was written into the last scene just to die seconds later after showing up. Yeah, and the weird thing is this movie actually starts out halfway decently because you almost make think it's going to go like a – because Steven Spielberg is involved in this film, you almost think there was going to be a Super 8 moment where these kids were finding a bunch of Transformers. It's like, why couldn't that have been the concept for the first fucking Transformer movie?
I totally agree. Totally agree.
But
excuse me.
The little Transformer guy who they don't explain his origins at all ends up being all right. The stupid little derpy Transformer ends up saving the day, sort of.
There's another point. There's another point off.
Yeah. So we're sitting at 5.
No, is that your point off, Eric? Don't listen to him. This is your
review. Yeah, I don't like that because that's a trope and that's stupid.
All right.
And I'm taking another point off because they had a female teenage character who could have had a decent story, but they removed her halfway through the movie and she didn't show up until like the end.
Okay, so now what are we at? Break.
Right, 4.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Eric?
I guess. Mark Wahlberg just being there, so that's a 3 now.
What are we at, Breakman? What are we at?
You just marked off another point. We are at number 3.
Okay. And anything else?
That's all I have to say about the movie. 3 out of fucking 10.
Okay. 3 out of 10.
I have my questions now since we're going to spoiler.
And since Stinger's all the rage, they decide to do a Stinger at the end of the movie. He says, oh, there's going to be another movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is that another point off?
No, just wanted to mention that.
You should have took a half a point off for that.
Yeah, let's make a half a point, so it's 4.5 now.
No, it's
it's 2.5.
2.5
three,
now.
Yeah. 3.5. That's right.
2.5.
Two and a half. Yeah.
Because I just marked that 3 there, so.
Oh, scores. Yeah, mine would be 3.5 at this point because I agree with the half point idea.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Your questions.
Okay, let me see here. Why is Optimus Prime the bad guy?
Because they decided to make him Nemesis Prime, and the evil goddess of – well, she's not really a goddess. She's just some weird sorcerer who decided to subvert the Transformers so they could rescue Cybertron by stealing all of Earth's energy apparently. But basically she mind controlled him, and that's how he became Nemesis Prime. That's your lazy way of introducing Nemesis Prime instead of making Nemesis Prime a completely different character.
Gotcha. And I'm guessing he's back to Optimus Prime by the end of the movie.
Also, the Earth is Unicron. And Unicron's actually a good guy, apparently.
The Earth is Unicron. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Plot device and Transformers Prime, by the way. Wow. Only they did better. Because he's actually a villain there, and the whole point was to keep him asleep so that they wouldn't destroy life on the planet.
So in the last movie, they terrified
Quintessa, and they made a villain when in society we should be trying to give women more positive representation. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay. So in the last movie, back in the dinosaur age, they were trying to terraform this planet, and now the planet wasn't the planet. It's been fucking Unicron the whole time. Like, what the fuck? None of the stories make any damn sense. There's no consistency at all.
His body. That's basically what happened.
Oh boy. So in other words, it's
can I
a huge
another point off? Can I please?
I don't care. It's your score. Come on.
1.5 from Breakman, who has not seen the movie, and 3.5 from Eric. So, and for me, it gets maybe a 1.5 if it's lucky. I'm just trying to catch up with Chad here. It says, Where do we start? The movie.
Okay, I'll take out another half point. So I'm changing. So I'm going to change my final score to a 2. Okay. So yeah, Hot Rod speaking with a friend, accent, making a joke about said accent. About I don't know why I have this accent, but I do because Michael Bay thought it'd be funny. Because accents and making fun of people of different cultures is hilarious.
Dungeon Buster says, I agree. The movie seemed to start okay. Then we heard the Merlin dialogue. And Wyland said he heard the Merlin dialogue. MXT said, did she show up bringing Optimus dinner? That's exiled MXT.
Wow. Also said, I hear in the next Transformers it will be renamed Trump's Formers. Megatron will become Magatron.
Oh, boy.
Megatron's somehow going to become Galvatron again. And for real this time.
Oh, boy.
Oh, okay.
I guess. It's a mess. That whole thing is a mess. Are we done with Transformers?
After that half a point, my score.
Yeah, Wayland said not Primus. Well, yeah, it'd be interesting if they introduced Primus in the 6th film somehow. And he saves the Earth planet. I don't know. And maybe he gives Optimus the Matrix and Optimus becomes Super Optimus or something.
I hope they at least stick with the same characters. At least. At the very least. Even though my score currently is 1.
I hope they just don't do any more movies, like, at all.
Oh, that ain't happening. They're making them.
No, I know, man.
You just got to get on board.
That gravy train isn't going nowhere, man. Those people, yeah, they've got
to
get that money.
I just hope that the movies after this don't have to suffer over his influence anymore, and they can actually be good.
Hopefully, man. Jesus Christ, those movies are awful, but they make a lot of money. It's like the Resident Evil movies, man. Fucking things make a ton of money. For no reason. They're just awful movies. All right.
I think those movies do well overseas, whereas Transformers does well everywhere. I guess kids like it or something.
I guess. They love the toys, for sure.
Maybe it's like a tween thing. Like, they're not old enough for the R movies, but their parents will let them see the PG-13 and what other choice they have.
I guess. I don't know, man. I don't know what the appeal is of those fucking movies, man. I've been saying this for years, but, you know, whatever. All right, guys, we need to move on to our free-for-all topic. Did we talk about this LGBT thing, Eric, yet?
No, we haven't.
Okay. There's an interesting thing going on with the LGBT colors on the flag. They added brown and black. I wish they would have added...
Why did they add a poop stain? Oh, I'm sorry. No.
Poop stain, you
son of a bitch. I shouldn't say that. I offended somebody already. Mm-hmm. I was just making a joke. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think this is good. I would have preferred them to add white to that as well, but, you know, I mean, I don't know what else to... I mean, if
put white on the bottom.
No, it should be in there somewhere, like maybe in between black and brown or... I don't know.
I've heard people have made some absolutely stupid arguments as to them complaining about this change because Armored Skeptic, you just basically discard him as a piece of shit. But he was complaining. So this is assuming that the flag wasn't representing all colors anyways.
So I agree.
No. The reason that the colors are there is because apparently there was a connected story where the flag that they were using was being preempted by groups that were basically being racist to them, and they wanted the change because they wanted to have a new flag that would acknowledge them, and that's why they did what they did.
I don't have a problem with them adding black and brown. I do think there should have been a little more thought to it because that flag, the rainbow flag itself, is all inclusive, I think. But I think it is important to add those two just for awareness. And, you know, I'm not big on awareness because, like, look at Susan G. Komen. At this point, like, everybody knows breast cancer is bad, just like everybody knows racism is bad and whatnot. But, you know, I don't have a huge deal with this. The only thing is I really wish if they were going to go this route, they put a white banner in there too. That way it could show all inclusiveness of everybody. You know what I mean? I don't know. What do you think, Breakman?
I guess.
What about you, Eric?
Yeah, basically I'm with this flag and I hope they can keep it for as long as they can.
Yeah. I don't know. With this administration, who knows, man? Anything anybody else want to talk about before we leave? Breakman, did you have anything?
I know there was something I thought we wanted to talk about. Oh, all the shows that ended in back in May. So that's – I don't really want to talk about that anymore.
Okay. Anybody excited for –
Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, the television show, is coming to Netflix. I might have
And Castlevania is coming out, too.
July, I mean.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of wrestling, old school wrestling games, like for the Super Nintendo, they're pointing one of the Super Nintendo Fire Pro Wrestling games onto Steam.
That's cool. MXT would be interested in that. But yeah, that's GLOW is coming out.
I don't know
out.
If you are familiar with Fire Pro Wrestling.
Vaguely. I am.
I
know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
People that have played it, I think they only played the one that was actually released in the U.S. at one point, and we never got any of the other ones after that.
And that was on the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, it's made the game series is made by Aki, I think.
Yeah.
And I think they actually ended up doing one of the WW games on the N64.
They did two WCW games and two WWF games.
Yeah.
And I think at the time they're still WWF.
Yeah. All right, guys. That's going to wrap it up for this week. The sun just came out and is boiling me slowly but surely. Breakman,
That's sad because I wanted to talk about more about your son beating your ass in the
oh, boy. I wanted to talk about it. We'll talk about it next week. We'll have
that'll be your stinko next week, right?
Oh, definitely, dude. It was going to be this week, but I had another stinko. But remind me to talk about that next week. Breakman, what are your plugs, sir?
You can follow me at break_man, at RP Grinders, and I don't have any more. That's it.
All right. Eric, your plugs, please.
Sorry.
Plugs. You can find me on sites like BostonBastardBrigade.com, TotallyGN.com, VogNetwork.com, and HonestGamers.com. And you can find me on Twitter at EricRBG. And I have a YouTube channel, Funny E.T. Man, and I recently did a review, snack review for Blueberry Pie Oreos, which made Frank barf.
Yes, I'm not a big blueberry fan. Yeah, okay. Anything else, Eric?
Other than the fact that summer's finally here.
Yeah. Yeah, summer is here. I'm trying to figure out a way how to drum up some money to keep RPGrinders.com alive. I need to raise $95 by July 21st. If anybody has a suggestion or a quick way we can make some quick cash for RP Grinders, I've never asked before in the history of Grinders for money to do with anything with the show, but now I really need it. It just came at the wrong time for me, but that would entail 5 years of me keeping rpgrinders.com. So if anybody has any suggestions, things they want us to offer as far as like maybe an appearance on the show or things of that nature, let me know because we really need it. Anything above 95 would be greatly appreciated for upgrades on equipment. Stuff like that. So if you have an idea or if you just want to donate, catch me on Twitter at Frank Branches, and I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. Anything else, gents?
Mm-mm.
Right, there's also my Patreon.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll put the link in chat, and you, of course, can always just view it on the summary.
Yeah. MXT has said, have we thought of a GoFundMe?
But maybe I shouldn't be promoting that if the RP Grinders needs help right now.
Well, whatever, dude. Any money we can get, dude. MXT says, have you thought about a GoFundMe? I have thought about that, MXT. I don't know what my prize tiers would be. I really don't. It would have to be something completely free, like mentions.
Just don't recommend like Kickstarter, other Frank will have corner.
God, no Kickstarter, man. I'm not doing anything new. This is, you know, but Yeah, go fuck yourself, Breakman says. All right, everybody, stay safe this weekend. Hit me up on Twitter, at Frank Branches, as Breakman said, at RP Grinders. You know, let us know what you think of the show, what we can improve. If you want to see or do anything on the show, let us know. Other than that, have a safe weekend this weekend. I think I'll be back here for one more Grinders before I am going to go on a quick sabbatical for surgery. And I think that's it. Have a safe weekend this weekend, guys. Until then, we are out. Later, guys.